This is a UVic RUSI oral history interview with Mr. Leopold Roberge, recorded on November 6, 2008, in Nanaimo, BC. Mr. Roberge is being interviewed by Katrina Gower about his Army experience with the 4th Canadian Mechanized Brigade Group in West Germany from 1965 to 67 and again from 1978 to 81. Mr. Roberge is now a retired major. So what prompted your decision to enroll in the military in 1955?
Well, basically, I was 16 years old, so it was somewhat of a youth rebellion, and seeking adventure, and just wanting to get away from the hometown scenario. And at 16, it was kind of difficult to join the military or to go in at least, because 1955, 16-year-olds didn't have much money. Mm-hmm. And I came from a large family, so... it was mostly the adventure aspect of it, trying to sort of fly on my own power.
Excellent. So had you had a lifelong interest in the military, or was this something new?
No, it was something totally new. I read and heard the radio news about people coming back from Korea and stuff like that, but not really a big interest in it. Just the adventure part of it was what attracted me to the military.
Okay, so when you joined, what were your expectations?
The expectation was to be able to learn more, learn about the world, gain some experience about how to behave with people, really to save a little money to continue education later on, because, as I said, I came from a large family and money wasn't really available for education.
How many were in your family?
Are you prepared for this?
Sure.
16.
Wow, you aren't kidding.
And there were two. I was number two, so like there was no, really no money to be spent to for further education.
Wow. All right, well... Prior to working with the 4th Canadian Mechanized Brigade Group in West Germany, did you go on any other missions?
Didn't have any exterior missions. That was the first one, although there have been many in between the two missions and afterwards.
Okay.
But that was the very first one outside of the country.
All right. So can you tell me what the training and preparation process was like for that one?
Well, I was already serving in a Canadian Mechanized Brigade Group at Valcartier at the time. I was a sergeant and physical training instructor with the 2nd Battalion of the Royal 22nd Regiment. And we were briefed as to the language differences, the customs of the German people, their sovereignty, and their customs in terms of also living habits and but not a whole lot. We were in the ranks at the time, and we were told what was necessary. But we were also told that we were to act as Canada's ambassadors, so to speak, in order to behave properly in that fashion.
All right. So were you given like specific instruction on how to approach the German people? Like did you feel there was any sort of divide, like us-them divide of any sort?
Oh, yes. I think they were, because of the nature and the era as well. But I must admit that there was a lot of genuine friendship that developed. We lived on the economy, as it was called. Mm-hmm. We lived with the German family when we first went to Germany. And the exchange in language, you know, we learned a few German words, they learned a few English words, and there was always an exchange. They always wanted us to purchase goods from the Canadian store because it was tax-free and not always available on the German market. Mm-hmm. And we had been told never to do that. This was a no-no because of the agreements between the governments in order to bolster the German economy. It was better that we bought
from the German
stores, then they get freebies from us.
Ah, interesting. All right, well, could you describe your job in 4CMGB for me in a bit more detail?
I This is in two parts. The first part, I was a sergeant physical instructor, physical education instructor for the Second Royal 22nd Regiment.
Okay.
And in that, I was responsible for the fitness, the recreation, and sports activities for the battalion. And in so doing, there was physical training classes, conduct of sports competitions, organizing recreational activities for the military. Mm-hmm. During that time, as a senior NCO in the ranks, it was mostly looking after the military aspect, a little bit with the dependents and the community.
Okay.
Now, if I transpose myself back, now later, 10 years later, mm-hmm. I was then a commissioned officer. I went there as a physical education and recreation officer for the base, for CMBG, and for all the Canadian forces in Europe at the time.
Okay.
So my role was considerably different
mm-hmm.
in that my activities were different. It was more administrative, it was direction, as opposed to being an instructor and conducting
okay.
the activities.
All right. So you then worked more behind the scenes with the troops instead of, say, out doing all of the training operations and all of that kind of stuff?
In terms of military operations?
Yeah.
Yes. However, in those days when I in the first mission, I had to be a sergeant infantry before I was qualified mm-hmm. sergeant as a physical training instructor.
Okay.
So when we went on military operations, I carried on with my responsibilities for fitness, recreation, and sports mm-hmm. whenever there was downtime in the military exercise. But I was also given responsibilities when there was a shortage. For example, one time I was required to be the communications senior NCO for and also provide security for the commanding officer of the battalion during two separate military exercises. Another instance, I became the transportation officer, you know, for the infantry. So
you had to be very flexible.
The training was all-encompassing in those mm-hmm. days. It was difficult to say, well, I'll join the military and I'll become a physical training instructor. It just didn't happen like that. You came from other trades.
Okay. So you just sort of wound up wherever they needed you, more or less?
At that time, yes,
okay.
As an NCO.
Interesting. So when Canada was first involved with the NATO forces in West Germany, there was a bit of dispute over whether to align the Canadian troops with Americans or the British. Now, when you did your first tour with 4CMGB, you would have been stationed in the north with the British, correct?
Correct.
And then the second one in the south with the Americans and Germans?
Actually, when we were in the south, we were sort of... we weren't aligned with the Americans, per se.
No.
We were... I shouldn't say that. We were. In communicating because our general kept attending their conferences and stuff like that. But it was a different setup for sure. We were by ourselves in a location where, you know, we had very little to do mm-hmm. with the American soldiers in terms of operation. We never went on exercise with Americans.
Okay.
If we did go have a full NATO exercise, we were then part of the American scenario, mm-hmm. but under command of Canadian generals.
Okay. And so the experience with the British was different. How, like, what was it like when you were stationed with the British in terms of...
It's difficult for me to assess that because okay. at that time I was an NCO, but basically I believe that we were an integral part of the British Army on the Rhine.
Okay.
And as such, we were given instructions on a daily basis on what to do and what to perform. And
so, yeah. From your perspective, there was a bit more independence when you were in the South?
Yes, mm-hmm. there were. Yeah.
Okay. Was there any difference in how the Canadian forces were perceived by Germans in the North versus in the South?
A little bit because of the era. It was when we were there initially, it was 1965, but rather, we had been there a little bit before, 5 or 6 years before that. But there was still some remnants of the occupation time immediately after the Second World War. So there was more aloofness on the part of the German. Not to say that they weren't friendly, they were just a little bit more reserved than when we got there 10 years later. Also, at that time, the economy of the German people in the 60s was really in bad shape. And Canadians were rich there. We had 4 marks to every dollar, and it was incredibly flexible for us. The German people didn't have that sort of flexibility. So that's, but 10 years later, it was a totally different story in the South. I mean, the people had become, the German people had become fairly well-to-do. Farms were very prosperous. The Black Forest area is a tremendous area for tourism. And so there was more of a rapprochement, if I could call it that, you know, of ideals. In addition, there was an agreement between the city of Belleville, Ontario, and the city of Laar, and they became twin cities, and the mayors visited each other, you know, and made really for friendly relationship with the local community.
Okay, so along similar lines, what was the reputation of the Canadian troops in Germany each time you served?
I would have to say that it was very good. I didn't personally experience any negative, any meaningful negative experiences there with the German people. There was always a few things that the German people would have liked we had done better, and vice versa. But they were a sovereign people, and we were supposed to do, you know, to be accommodating as much as we could. And I think that generally the reputation of Canadian people has always been very good in Europe, everywhere. And I've served in other areas of the world as well, and the reputation of Canadian military is really good.
So just out of curiosity, what were some of the little things that got on their nerves about the Canadian forces?
For example, in Laar, we had 2 arenas mm-hmm. in Laar. One was in the caserne, which was really in the city, mm-hmm. and the second one was on base near the airfield. Well, they wanted more access to our sports facilities because the German people are very sports-minded. Mm-hmm. They hadn't been great skaters, but they really wanted to participate. And we provided more time for them, as much time as we could. But we had to answer to a very large community, and we had, for example, we had 3 different hockey leagues for the military only, and we had many minor hockey leagues, figure skating requirements, etc., which the German didn't partake in because they didn't have those skills. Mm-hmm. So they really wanted more, and they wanted more access to our stores as well for us. But it was always dealt with at the municipal yeah. election level, and our general dealt with it. And
so it was on more of a material level than anything really deep-rooted in...
Oh, yes. Yes, for sure. It was. Yeah.
Excellent. So, aside from the German people, how do you feel the Canadian troops were perceived by their peers and other NATO forces?
Very well. Yeah. Canadian forces have always been a well-trained, well-equipped force until the Liberal government of the mid-70s, but that's life in Canada. otherwise, though, professionally, professionalism and the training of the Canadian Forces people is highly regarded in the world. Many countries, third world countries, come to train in Canada. They have their officers train in Chilliwack, for example, and they did. I think it's, I'm a little posse there, Chilliwack's close. But they sent a lot of their people to be trained here. I'm just wondering where the reputation would have been tarnished in any way. And it may have been by individuals at time dealing one-on-one. Maybe a soldier getting out of control in a pub. That may have happened. But it was rare. It was very rare because the Canadian people in general are friendly. The Canadian forces are a makeup of the generality of Canadian people. So that's reflected in their attitude when they deal with people. They're very well respected in the world, in Europe in particular.
Good to hear. All right. Well, how do you think the move from SUS to LAR, do you think it had a significant impact on the identity of the 4th Canadian Mechanized Brigade Group? Or?
I'm not sure how to answer that question, but...
I could probably rephrase. Well, just in terms of... Or just how did the move affect the operations of the brigade, or that you noticed, because... obviously, you weren't there when they moved, but...
I've just moved back to Canada.
But you experienced life sort of on both sides, as it were.
Well, in the north, of course, the brigade was scattered. There were different forts. There were 6 or 7 forts where there was the Van Duve was one area, the engineers in another, the tanks were in another. They were, very, very sparsely around the Zost area. When they moved to LAR, the brigade as a whole was a larger unit of CFB LAR, altogether.
Okay.
Altogether on the same spot. So that made administration and conduct of operation a lot easier for the brigade commander. And also, the headquarters of Canadian Forces Europe was in LAR. So everything was under sort of one roof right there. So in that sense, it impacted on a more condensed society or German people as opposed to in Laar or in Berle, where it was spread all the way around Zost.
Okay. Yeah, because I've read some things that sort of indicate that there was perhaps a decline in the status of the Canadian troops upon the move to LAR, but I don't know if that's sort of...
In a decline in the...
Like in the almost eminence or the way that they were regarded within the NATO forces.
That may have been a case of going from the British organization to an American organization. The British organization always recognized Canada as a part of Britain.
Okay.
We were still sort of their descendants, so to speak. The Americans, on the other hand, had a huge machine in Europe. It was a huge, huge force in the hundreds of thousands. So, so then Canada became a very small part of that machine. And that may be the reason why it may have appeared like that. But I assure you, they were well recognized.
So do you think that there was more opportunity for the Canadian troops to sort of establish themselves as Canadian in the South versus being more integrated into, as you said, the British sort of thought of the Canadians as being British as well?
Or? Oh, no. No, there was still, even as though we were part of the British Army on the Rhine, we operated as a Canadian brigade as a whole. It was a component of it. And it was really Canadian. It was established there. But because we had served in the Second World War as a Canadian troop under the British mandate, under the British wing, in their structured organization, the British knew us very well, and it probably gave Canadians more prominence.
Okay.
Then it would have been given in the South. But I remember American generals talking about the Canadian forces in Europe in glorious terms.
Excellent. All right. Do you think that your experience as a Canadian in Europe differed in any way from the experiences of soldiers of other nationalities?
May have, especially in during our first mission in the north because of the exchange, the monetary exchange, whereby we were really very comfortable. We could buy almost anything we wanted, as other countries may not have had the same flexibility. France was also in some sort of economic throes at the time, and so they may have had more difficulties. They used to welcome us to buy in their stores because they really wanted to make the profits. Mm-hmm. And so did the German people.
Okay. So when you were serving with 4CMGB, what was your marital status?
I was married. I just was married the first time we went over. Didn't have any children the first time. And Doris really loved the experience. She was... It was her first time, you know, anywhere out of the country.
Okay.
First time away from her grandmother, who had been her parent.
You know? Okay. And did she work while she was with you, or?
Initially, it was difficult to find work, but eventually she became a salesperson for gems, you know, like diamonds and stuff like that, in a Canadian store. We had a store called the Canex, you may have come across that term, and she became a salesperson there while we were living with the German family, so that was close to where we were living. Then, during our last year of that tour, we moved into married quarters, and when we moved there, she went to work for the Salvation Army. She had occupations, and she also did a little bit of radio announcing, just a little wee bit.
Interesting. So what were the married quarters like?
Actually, they were fairly well in Germany in the first time because they were newly built. They had been built around 1959-60, and we were there in 65. And they were all furnished, and we didn't have any children, so we had a one-bedroom married quarters with nice living room, kitchen, you know, bathrooms and stuff, and hot and cold water, which was a rarity at the time.
Okay.
gas heated.
So what about the second time you were in Germany?
The second time we moved directly into married quarters. Although it was, everything in Verl was, you know, touching German economy or German people living next door to you. We had a reasonable flat. We had a two-bedroom flat there. It was a two-story building. It was really a nice building, really. And we were near the radio station where my wife actually worked at this time. And she also worked at the newspaper, which was across the street, the Canadian newspaper.
Excellent. Now, did you have children at that time?
Yes, we had one young boy who, that was 1978, he was 9 years old, I guess.
So did he attend school there?
School, but in the Canadian school system. We had Canadian school system in there.
Okay.
And, he went there to school for 3 years there.
Excellent. So what was the school system like? How did that work?
It worked on the Ontario system.
Okay.
It was the Ontario who had the responsibility to set up the curriculum and to hire the teachers. And although there was also a French school, which was based on the Quebec system for when the Royal 22nd Regiment was there with their family.
Okay, and so did they, they flew teachers in from Canada or had Canadian teachers?
They hired Canadian teachers, yeah.
Excellent. Cool. So, could you describe what a typical day was like for you while you were serving?
Oh, boy. Typical day. A typical day in Germany for me was kind of difficult. There were not too many days that resembled one before or after. However, the dynamics of a military force in a foreign country are mostly unpredictable. So, generally, though, I would get up in the morning and be at work at about 7 a.m., after a 4 or 5 mile run. It was my function to show fitness. And then I would have a small briefing with my chief instructors to ensure that the program for the day was going on. And then I would conduct my administrative duties, you know, in the morning in terms of doing writing or contacting people for future activities during the day. Noon hour would see me either in a social activity, because as an officer there were many functions, luncheons with commanding officers and generals, and if didn't have such thing, I would either play a game of badminton or go for a swim. In the afternoon, of course, it was meetings, and I had to supervise many areas of recreation and leisure and life in general in Germany, and including two radio and TV stations, and three, one in the north, in the Dutch towns. And so I would be involved in meetings and in conducting meetings and in running sports organizations or that stuff for the in the evening. Of course, I would be attending as a supervisor of the various level of sports activities and recreation in all of our that we were conducting. Mm-hmm. And I find some free time. We used to go and maybe take some courses in the language.
So learning German, and
sometimes my wife, for example, conducted yoga classes, you know, for dependents.
Interesting. So other than language courses, was there anything else that you like to do in your spare time?
Well, I was heavily involved in sports myself.
Yes.
I was a hockey player, and I played for the regimental team or the base team, or and I was a golfer, and in that sense I was involved heavily into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do very much other than reading. I've always liked reading. Didn't do very much while I was in the military. I'm catching up on that now.
Fair enough. Did you do any traveling or anything?
We did a lot of traveling. In fact, the community in Lahr had an organization that conducted tours all around Europe.
Oh, wow.
And we had, I think it was two or three buses, and they were booked all the time. Trips to Paris, to Copenhagen, it was really wonderful.
That sounds really interesting.
But because of my involvement, I didn't have the short periods that are needed for that.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to take my holidays like 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And then another 2 weeks. My wife took part more often than I did.
Oh.
Yeah. That was good. That's good.
I'm sure she enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Was daily life or just life in general different for you in the north than in the south? I mean, I guess time periods would be different as well.
Yes, it was. Basically, there was also the Lahr area is so receptive to tourism with vineyards, I should mm-hmm. call it, and the weather was a lot better in the south. And in the north, we were so active. We were in the ranks, and it makes a world of difference
mm-hmm.
whether you serve in the ranks or whether you serve, you know, as an officer. And we were very, very committed to regimental activities, and there were a lot of those. And so, markedly different.
Okay. And even just thinking of the political climates at the two different times that you were with for CMGB, I would assume that they would have been quite different. Would that be correct?
Yeah, they would be, and they were. However, my ability to evaluate the first portion when I was there,
mm-hmm.
65, is not very good, because
okay.
I wasn't involved at that level. I was involved in, you know, the really day-to-day activities
mm-hmm.
with the troops, making sure they were fit. There were recreational opportunities for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and that their sports activities were sound, and more specifically, that their fitness level met the requirements of the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that we can compare favorably with any. Oh no, that's not the one. What question was it?
How is the political climate different? So, I mean, even if you said that you can't really give me a good idea of that from your first tour, but your second tour, what was the political climate like? What was sort of going on?
Well, Germany by then had become a very stable country already, mm-hmm. and they were very strong economically. Mm-hmm. Just as an example, the difference in the exchange was down to about 1.60 mark
okay.
from 4.
Yeah.
So the German economy was really good. The leadership of the German people was more confident. They had established themselves as a democracy, true democracy, as opposed to under the dictatorship of one individual. Mm-hmm. And they readily went along with that. The German people went along with it. It was a real change in their attitude. As when we were in the North, as a comparison, they were still in the throes of, trying to forget that they had been defeated. Mm-hmm. As a people. In the 80s, it was different.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about sort of the politics behind the Canadian troops and the Canadian military at the time?
We were strongly committed. Canada was strongly committed to the brigade and to NATO forces because the politics behind our participation in NATO forces there was to counteract the Warsaw Pact nations from the east, mm-hmm. from the Russia, and, trying to stem their aggression and the spread of communism. Mm-hmm. And in that, we were committed to do that, and the country stayed with it, and politically and physically. So.
Now, did it feel like there were different threat levels on the different tours that you were on, or even throughout?
I didn't think that there was. We didn't get many. I know that there was one when we were in the south. While we were in the north, we participated in so many military operations, military exercise, waving the flag, so to speak, and mm-hmm. we knew Warsaw nations were looking at us, mm-hmm. and so there was always, that thing, we're here, we're prepared, mm-hmm. don't be aggressive. In the south, because of the context in which the Canadian forces were, there were less military operations, and they were conducted under the American leadership, and it was different. There was one attempt, I think, in Yugoslavia, if I'm not mistaken. I don't recall whether it was Yugoslavia per se. Maybe I shouldn't go there because I don't recall it clearly.
So, you said there was sort of less show or fewer exercises in the south. Now, was that because of the location? Was it a more secure location? Or was that just because tensions had eased a little bit at that point and there wasn't the need to show that strength?
Yeah, it was the fact that the German forces had then become fairly strong again, mm-hmm. which sort of showed the Eastern forces that, well, there's just not mm-hmm. foreign countries in Germany having forces. The German forces are now very strong. So that caused really a diminution of tension. It really did. And it started, I believe, in the early 80s. And in 92, Canada pulled out of the basin there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you feel were the most significant contributions for CMGB made to the Federal Republic of Germany, or Europe in general, for that matter, while you were there?
Well, as a member of NATO forces in Germany, 4CMBG made a very important contribution in maintaining the readiness of the West in preparation for possible conflict, with the Warsaw Pact nations. They regularly held military exercises in different parts of the Republic of Germany and, thereby demonstrating our capabilities, showing the flag, as I mentioned earlier, to the other side. And our leadership and our troops were and still are very highly regarded in NATO and within European countries. So in that sense, there was a contribution there. Another significant contribution was to the local and regional economy of Germany in terms of our, you know, daily lives and expenditures and exposures to different products. Many products also were imported into Germany. Aside from daily living in and around Wörl and Lahr, Canadians traveled the width and breadth of the country and of Europe, many countries in Europe, including England. And the professional and positive attitude, as I mentioned earlier, of Canadians reflected well upon Canada. And the easygoing temperament of Canadians also was conducive to a good relationship with people. In a summary to this question, in addition to its contribution to the economic revival of Germany, 4CMBG made a significant contribution in stemming the aggression of Warsaw Pact nation, limit the spread of communism in Western Europe. It helped to restore confidence of the German people and its leadership to maintain sovereignty and adopt a Western-style democracy. Ultimately, NATO and 4CMBG made a significant impact in the reunification of the country because of that.
Yeah, and I read that even as 4CMGB was pulling out in 93, I think they were training German forces on how to go about peacekeeping missions and all of that kind of thing as well.
Yes, and that was 92. I was there.
You were there?
I went back with a troop of entertainers.
Oh, really?
To participate in Canada Day celebration, the 1st of July.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That would have been very cool. Actually, I'll ask you about that in a little while. We'll come back to that. One of the things that you mentioned was, you know, helping out the economy and all that. Being true that I did prior to this, the gentleman mentioned, he said, ask your other interviewers about the Bank of Montreal. And he said, like, because he said that he did most of his banking with a local German bank instead of with the Bank of Montreal. Now, what was your experience with that, just out of curiosity?
Well, in the north, the Bank of Montreal was the only thing available to us at that time. In the south, I had an account with the Bank of Montreal because it was the easiest way for us to get our pay. I didn't want to go expand the pay line, so we go directly to the account. But I also had an account with a German bank. And because of two reasons. And I agree with the gentleman. It was easier to do a deal with a German bank than it was to do with the Bank of Montreal. As an example, I wanted to buy a vehicle when I first arrived there. And I had a small down payment, but I was making enough money as an officer to make regular payments. So I went to the Bank of Montreal, of course, because my mother was going there. Well, they had to go back to Canada to find out, you know, to get an authority to loan me enough money to buy this vehicle. And it was $5,000 at that time. Fair amount, but not an undue burden for a captain. So when he told me that, when the manager told me that, I said, don't worry about this. Forget my application. I said, I'll go to the local bank.
Yeah.
And I went to the local bank and I had the money that afternoon.
Yeah, that's a similar story to what I heard from.
Yeah, and we were so well treated in that bank. Yeah. We would go in there, and the German people wanted to speak English to us. Mm-hmm. You know, like they wanted to practice. And I always wanted to speak German, and I would speak German to them, and they would answer me in English.
Yeah.
To make sure I understood, because it was money transaction, so.
So did you find that they really took you in as part of the German community while you were stationed there, or was there still a separation?
Well, there was a separation. It would be, you know, not right, but very well accepted, you know, as part of, as a satellite part of the community, not as an integral part, because there were so many different things, like the school system, you know, and the sports system. For example, their school system goes on all year. Kids only have 3 weeks vacation, and they study only half a day.
Yeah.
They use the school a lot for all kinds of activities.
Okay, interesting. So what are some of your lasting impressions of the time you spent with 4CMTV?
Well, on a personal basis, I would say that the learning experience and the cultural exchange for me was just a tremendous occurrence. I learned as a soldier, I learned as an officer, and I developed as a person, because I was sort of growing up, so to speak, becoming a reasonable person in the world. I found the German people to be strong, intelligent, academically advanced, with experience of life based on many, many years of evolution before even North America was discovered. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, they had an experience that was handed down to them that I cherished. They were a great people. On a professional basis, the participation of Canada as part of NATO forces in Germany following the debacle of World War II indicated that the world recognized the sacrifice of Canadians made to preserve democracy. Canadian soldiers' professionalism and dedication command respect and admiration from our partners in the alliance and from Europeans in general. It also demonstrated to the rest of the world that when Canada commits, Canada keeps its word. And you asked me a further question about returning to Germany.
Yeah.
I have returned to Germany a few times since 1981, but the last time was 16 years ago, 1992.
Okay.
There were changes taking place even as we were there. In fact, as I just said, they were in the process of closing the base. This was to be the last performance of an entertainment show group at the base in Lahr. And in late 1992, and I believe January 1993, it was closed for good. And many of the facilities that had been built by Canada, like arenas, gymnasiums, hospitals, were turned over to the community.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was that sort of good relationship there was between the two countries.
So you sort of left a bit of a legacy there behind.
Yes,
yeah.
And we still have a legacy, a living legacy there. We have many Canadians still live in the area, and there is a Canadian Legion in Lahr.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So just one last little bit. Did you find there was anything particularly unique about this mission, about the Canada's contribution to NATO and just 4CMTV in general? Was there anything special about it in comparison to what you went on to do?
The special mission of NATO and 4CMBG was really to hold the Warsaw Pact nation and to limit their aggression and the spread of communism. And that's really the uniqueness, and that was accomplished is a major, major accomplishment. Because if you recall, the Eastern countries, Eastern Europe and Russia, who were part of the Soviet bloc at the time, were very aggressive. They were powerful, they were military-minded, they sacrificed a lot of lives, they didn't care. And for democracy to have survived that, and for CMBG to be part of that, is remarkable.
It is. Alright. Well, I think that's it in terms of me for questions, unless there's anything else you'd like to add.
No, just that I'm proud to have been part of it. I've been proud to have been part of it because Germany is a success. It's a very democratic country now. And if you care sometimes to go take a look at their constitution, it's a real good one.
Mm-hmm.
And people respect it. Of course, there is still a Germanic people. They're military-minded, but they have embraced democracy like nobody else. I really appreciate that. And I have had such good experiences and made some good friends. We were friends, for example, with the family that we first lived in our first in Germany, until they passed away.
Oh,
we
wow.
kept contact all the years.
Wow. How many years approximately? That?
Just before we returned to Germany, sadly enough.
Oh.
It was 10 years later. Yeah.
Wow.
We returned to Germany, and I had planned the trip to go to Wörl, to Vicadet, was the name of the little town we were in. And we got word that Frau Tyler had died, and her husband had died the year before.
Oh, that's too bad.
But and we made other good friends around Lahr in Germany, and I'm still in touch with some of those.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me.
Well, I hope it's been helpful.
It certainly has. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, and I wanted to... Yeah, you can have this.